Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, Shana Tova, happy birthday. How's it going?
You keep saying happy birthday. You missed my birthday.
No, your birthday was last week. It was after our last podcast.
It was on Thursday.
Yeah, and we haven't recorded a podcast since then.
I got a happy birthday email from you on Sunday.
Well, because I wasn't going to say it before your birthday.
You can't message me on Thursday and be like, hey, happy birthday. In the text group, say, hey.
It was a very busy day on Thursday.
I'm not offended, but it's just weird to give me a 3 days later happy birthday. I wasn't anyway. Like, oh my gosh, Chester didn't say happy birthday. But then when you emailed me on Sunday, I was like, well, I think the day later you could do like belated birthday.
Later was Shabbos. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter to you.
All right. Well, how was your birthday? How was your Rosh Hashanah?
Now you owe me two presents.
All right.
My Rosh Hashanah was good. I go to like a 5:55 service. So my wife can go, you know, so I can take the kids and my wife doesn't have to like watch yelling kids during hers. Every single guy does the exact same thing where I live.
Wakes up at 5:55 in the morning in Rosh Hashanah?
Literally our whole neighborhood.
That's a bad idea.
It's good because you get a nap later in the day because no one can get mad at you. I mean, the other guys don't, but me, who does whatever he wants, does.
Yeah.
Like you could get out of anything.
I go to a service that starts at 9 and I still get a nap, but yeah.
How long are yours are like 5 hours? Are they 9 to 2? 9 to 1?
No, 9 to like 12:45, 12:30, something like that.
That's not bad.
But yeah, it's much faster in Israel than America usually.
What? That's not bad. Are you like busy? Are you reading books? Are you talking? What's your ordeal during a long prayer service?
The first day I was doing CSS, so I wasn't actually in there for that much.
What's CSS? Like security?
Security. Yeah.
You guys can pay a security person one day a year?
Don't get me started. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then the second day, I mean, I'll bring a book on Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur has, you know, a lot more slow parts. Like, there's not that many slow parts on Rosh Hashanah. Like, the service isn't that long. And it's pretty, it moves pretty quickly for the most part.
You know what? There's two inside baseball, but it's, when you get older, you realize this is, Rosh Hashanah is shorter and Simchas Torah is much longer. Anyway, yeah. this is we're losing everyone who doesn't. Let's talk about baseball.
Sure.
So your Twins are going up against their ultimate. I hate to say rival, but you're Charlie Brown and they're Lucy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But now you enter, and you've entered in good spirits before. But now you enter as the home run hittingest team of all time.
Yeah, by one over the Yankees.
Yeah, against the team
who didn't have Stanton and Judge for much of the season.
Yes, so didn't have the two best power hitters in baseball, two of the three. Yeah. They all reside in New York. But they're also missing a player, one of the most important pitchers. So their rotation is definitely suspect.
Well, neither team has a rotation in this series. There's going to be a bullpen game in game three for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, Odorizzi really collapsed down the stretch.
Odorizzi didn't collapse down the stretch. Jose Berrios did.
No, or the truth is Odorizzi had a bad August, I think. He bounced back the last couple starts.
Well, I mean, his ERA was under 2 in April and May, and that was never going to survive.
Right.
Yeah. He was worse in like July and August, and then he sort of settled down.
So how, yeah. I mean, I think we both realize that, you know, what happened in 2000 or whatever has no bearing on this series.
You know, yeah, I mean, it does for the fans, obviously,
yeah,
and for the psyche of the fans.
The players
on both
were
sides,
like barely
but yeah, none of the players. None of the players were involved. None of them care. I mean, 2 years ago, some of them were involved in the one game wild card, but that was a 100-win Yankees team against an 87-win Twins team that, you know, had lost.
Most of the time, you've lost to superior Yankee teams.
Yeah, the Twins, I think, have had home field advantage just once.
Yeah. You guys have gotten worse as these, you know, I think, what was the first one? 0-1?
No, 0-3 they lost.
0-3, okay.
No, 0-2 they lost to the Angels. 0-3 and 0-4 in the ALCS. 0-3 and 0-4.
That was the last time they won a playoff series.
Yeah, 0-3 and 0-4. They each of those series, I went to game one. They won game one in each of those series behind Santana, and then lost game two. Joe Nathan blew some saves, and then lost games 3 and 4. So, now the good news is I get to save some money. I'm not going to one of the first two games this week because it's on Friday and then Saturday.
Okay, that's good. But would you?
And then game four is on Yom Kippur, so I'm not going to get to see too much of this. If it goes to a fifth game, that would be.
Would you
in
go?
New York
would
next
you torture
Thursday.
Yourself and go
to game five?
To game five.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. You know, it's interesting because, back when they had Santana, you always felt like, well, you were a favorite in those games.
Yeah.
And then other than that, you were in trouble. Now, they're not a, the game, each of these games is going to be sort of like when the Yankees came to Minnesota in August. Each of these games is going to be like 12 to 11. Because neither team has any pitch, has any starting pitching.
Yeah.
And both teams literally are literally the two most powerful teams in the history of baseball.
So. I think that's why, you know, even though the series is fun and has a lot of interesting storylines, I think that's why, you know, this is essentially each team's World Series. Because they're going to go up against another historic hitting, home run hitting team, but one
who
that
also has
really
the three best,
like, yeah,
literally. And you know, we can talk if you wanna on today's podcast, maybe as a birthday present for y'all. I'll give you my AL awards, and then I'll save my NL awards for next week.
Yeah, you can do.
But
that.
Yeah, the Cy Young Award in the American League.
Wait,
is
the birthday
a close
present
race
for
between...
me? I thought you meant like this is an early 37th birthday present for you.
Yeah,
that you got to talk about.
But the best two pitchers in the American League this year were Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, who are the both on Houston. And then if he was eligible, because, you know, he played most of the season in the NL, the third best pitcher in the AL would be Zach Greinke, who's also on Houston. So you have this absurd scenario where Houston has literally the best three starting pitchers. Oh, and their offense is a smidge behind the Yankees in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so Houston is obviously the overwhelming favorite. You know, hopefully the Oakland-Tampa winner can pull some kind of miracle there. But, yeah, so the Yankees-Twins winner, and the Twins are obviously the underdog there, will be an underdog against Houston in the ALCS. And then the Dodgers, whoever escapes in the NL, will be an underdog to Houston in the World Series. But, look, anything can happen in a short baseball series.
Yeah, the game five, so, the five, best of five series especially.
Yeah.
How much confidence do you have in the Twins bullpen?
So, you know, it's funny because the Twins bullpen has been, in the beginning, early in the year, you know, when the aforementioned Odorizzi had an ERA in the ones, and Berrios is always awesome every year until September when, you know, his arm falls off. Their bullpen was very, very poor. Taylor Rogers was their only reliable guy, and it was especially frustrating because we knew coming into the season that was a weakness. They spent no money in the offseason. They said, well, we don't want to waste money on bullpen guys, which are really only 1 or 2 year guys when we don't know when our window of competition is. And then, oh, the window of competition happened to be now. They were on a 100-win pace all season. And then they didn't really make a move. They, you know, obviously there was an elite, you know, bullpen arm sitting out there who ended up obviously not working out and got injured. And so I guess it's good they didn't sign him. Although whatever, who cares? They could have tried him. They at the deadline, a couple days before the deadline, they got Sergio Ramos from the Giants, who's, you know,
Sergio Romo.
Sergio Ramos.
Sergio Ramos,
excuse me,
is a soccer player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. and he's, you know, he's fine. He will be good against the Yankees because, you know, they have a lot of right-handed hitters, and he's good against righties. He can't pitch against lefties. And then they got Sam Dyson, also from the Giants, who in his very first game gave up three runs and blew a game, then got injured, was gone for 2 weeks, came back, played two more games, got injured again. Now he's out for all of next year as well. And he said, oh, by the way, my arm's been hurting for the last 2 years. And right now the Twins are actually pursuing something against the Giants, or I don't know. But he had pitched well for the Giants, so whether he was hurt or not. Mm-hmm. But what has happened in the meantime is, you know, the Twins brought in to be their bullpen coach this year a guy who had never been a coach in Major League Baseball at all. He was a college pitching coach, which the first ever college pitching coach, I believe, in baseball history. That's what they say anyways, to go directly to Major League Baseball. And they brought him in, and he's done wonders. And you take a guy like Tyler Duffy. Tyler Duffy was basically a nobody for most of his career, sort of a middling kind of guy. And let me just go look. Let me look at Tyler Duffy's post All-Star game numbers. Okay, he had not given up a run, or even I think he had not allowed a guy to second base until he gave up a couple runs last week to Kansas City. But overall, in the second half, he has, in 30 innings pitched, he has 47 strikeouts, a 0.82 WHIP, a 1.5 ERA. So. And so, you know, they all of a sudden they have all these arms that they can throw there. They've had the best bullpen in baseball in the American League anyway since the All-Star break. And it's sort of these anonymous guys, other than Taylor Rogers, who's been, you know, solid all year, and the aforementioned Sergio Romo, who came over from San Francisco. It's Tyler Duffy, who no one's ever heard of, and it's Trevor May, who was supposed to be a starter, has been injured a lot. It's Ryan Harper. It's Brusdar Graterol, a 21-year-old guy they just brought up, who the first day he pitched, immediately in his first appearance, had the five fastest pitches in the history of the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
So they have all these guys. They have, if they go a bullpen game in game three, which they probably will do, their likely starter is Randy Dobnak, who is went to high school with a listener of ours and is getting married next week. And this listener was telling me that a bunch of his friends are going to be at that wedding.
Wait, he's getting married even if they're still in the playoffs?
I forget the exact date of the wedding. During Twins broadcast, it might have been last week.
Where do you grow up? Minnesota?
I have no idea. I'd have to ask.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I think the listener is Tim Westling, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So, yeah. So all of a sudden, the Twins have all these arms to throw. And the good thing is that other than Taylor Rogers, they're all right-handed, which is what you need against the Yankees and the Astros, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in theory, they have a chance. But, you know, Joe Nathan was the best or tied with Mariano Rivera for the best closer in baseball for like 6 or 7 years in a row. In the regular season, and then in the playoffs, would blow save after save after save. So, do I really trust this bullpen against the Yankees in the late innings? Honestly, no, I don't. Do I, you know, especially Taylor Rogers, their best guy, he's a lefty, unfortunately, which is not so good against the Yankees. So, I'm definitely nervous about that. But the truth is that unlike every other Twins team that's ever faced the Yankees in the playoffs, those Ron Gaudenheider dink and dunk teams where you'd have to get a single and a walk and a single and a walk and try and, you know, scratch out a couple runs, and then Mark Teixeira or whoever A-Rod or whoever else it was for the Yankees would come up and hit a 4-run homer and like erase that instantly. Now the Twins can do that also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm very excited.
With the balls flying out, did you look at the list of some of these guys who hit like 33, 34 home runs this year? Like you'd never heard of them, or even worse, you'd heard of them, but they were like 8 home run guys.
Well,
there are going to be some
on your other podcast.
Yes, Mitch Garv Sauce. We want him back on social media as soon as possible.
He had 300 at bats and 31 home runs. The Twins had 5 guys with 30 home runs. Right, Eddie Rosario, Max Kepler, who the Twins fans have been hearing about forever, but no one ever heard of.
Yeah, I mean these are waiver wire fantasy guys. I mean not Sano, but the other guy, like Kepler's always
Cruz,
on the way.
But yeah. Well, I mean, Kepler's much better in real life than fantasy because he's also an elite, defensive player, obviously. But yeah, so I'm very excited to see these, to see some power against the Yankees. And do I expect the Twins to win? No. But do I think that they could? Sure. And, it'll be gravy if they do. And if they don't, honestly, a baseball season, football is obviously my number one sport and basketball second and baseball is a distant third. But there's no more enjoyable regular season than baseball when your team is good.
Oh, it's
because
so great.
Every single day.
I mean, the Mets had a nice little run, in August. And
you had it for
September.
Like 6 weeks.
It was great.
But I had it for like 6 months,
Yeah, you get so attached to the team, when the manager comes out, who's coming in the game almost always.
Yeah, except when I call Sergio Ramos. But
yeah.
Yeah. So, and the most exciting thing about these Twins, other than the fact that their entire rotation, other than Berríos, is going to be replaced next year. But everything else, all their offensive guys, other than Cruz, they're all young. They're all under contract for a long time. Like this was a year before they were supposed to compete. So I think this team is going to be good for a long time. They still have one of the best farm systems in baseball. They've brought up most of the guys, but they still have a bunch of guys coming up. I mentioned Gratterall, who in theory could become a number two starter behind Berríos. So I'm very excited. If they beat the Yankees, they'll be huge underdogs against Houston. If they beat Houston, also obviously, then I'll be on cloud 75. But I'm excited just because it's been a fun 6 months, and I don't think that they need to claw out 3-2 wins against the Yankees. They can be down 7-0 in the sixth inning. This team,
I'm very excited for some absolutely epic collapses, not from specifically the Twins or the Yankees, just this playoffs are going to have some major.
It's also a bad closer year.
It's a bad closer year. There aren't a lot of sometimes, the last four teams all have like closers with a 1 ERA, and it's super hard to get in it. And the ninth innings are a little less dramatic. You're going to see, much like happened to the Mets a few weeks ago when they blew the 6-run lead in the ninth. You're going to see that. Jared Jerome, once known as our number one fan, now I'd say however many fans we are, he's dead last.
He's not in the top 50.
No. He's not in the top 5,000. He said that 32 fans community is going to rally around the Twins like never before because a lot of Minnesotans and people support you, and then a lot of Yankee haters. Other than this, rare
Yankee
fan.
But rally
fans.
Around, this series might be over by Sunday, so there's not
but
a lot of time for
that. I will say, I don't know that I'm rooting for the Twins over the Yankees.
What?
I mean, I'm sure like Gio Urshela would have wished me a happy birthday if he was my friend that I did a podcast with for 5 years. I'm sure Luke Voigt would have at least like dropped it in a group chat, hey, maybe WhatsApp me. Happy birthday, Keith.
I'm not group chatting.
Yeah. I'm sure if we had mentioned, 1880s starting pitchers that have the same last name as U.S. presidents, you would have been all about that.
Yeah, no, I've been studiously avoiding it all.
Anyway, when are you returning to social media?
I mean, I'm not totally boycotting it now. I partake in extremely limited, ways. And
do you think this is
going to
continue, or do you think in a week or two you'll be back on the docket?
I'm not going to be back to where I was for a long time. There's no reason to be spending 75 hours a day arguing with people.
Did you get yelled at by somebody, or was this like what was
no,
your...
it was it was It was, I think I mentioned this on the podcast. It was just, it was sort of a cleanse. It's like, you know, let's take a little cleanse. Let's, you know, just sort of a good thing to do in general.
Yeah, why would you want to talk to your friends when you could spend more time with your charts? I get it. You should cleanse from the charts. This is always the problem.
Yeah.
This is what you don't realize. That all your time is in charts.
Yeah.
You literally, I said, we had a pool thing, and I said, hey, can you do something? You said, no, you do it, which was fair. It's certainly also my responsibility. But then I also got like an immediate email from you with the Bill Simmons Cousin Sal, and this will be a segue into the football talk. Bill Simmons Cousin Sal lines, you know, a giant chart, me, you, Simmons, Sal, which you do every week, which means you had listened to the podcast while taking notes and already filled out the form. It wasn't like
I'm not saying you didn't do work. You just asked me to do like a couple modifications.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not complaining about that. It's just funny that like your valuable time is still like spent doing the stupidest things on earth. Moving to football now. By the way, so you have Astros over Dodgers. That's your World Series.
Yeah, that's what I had before the season started.
Yeah, so well, I had Red Sox over Dodgers, so I got to stick with that, I guess. I think I'm in last place in our. We did in one of our pools. We did preseason baseball predictions where you had to pick. Like,
I'm doing very bad in that one. Also,
I believe I'm in last place in that one. I believe I have the dreaded zero.
But there was a technicality. Would there be over under 1.5 managers fired before the end of the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Maddon did not. I mean, he was told he would be fired, but he did manage game 162.
Yeah, no, that's not a technique.
But
that means
the Pirates manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then the Pirates manager who did the same thing. Was told on Saturday you're going to be fired after Sunday's game, and he said, "You know what? I ain't showing up to work on Sunday." And so because of that, it hit the over because he had the choice.
I believe we elaborated more clearly for the football version of that question because we had this. I didn't realize it was in the baseball question, but for football, we had a very specific.
Well, it wasn't just manager fired. It was manager replaced for any reason.
Right.
So who
was the Pirates manager
quit
that just quit after being told he was fired?
It wasn't Clint Hurdle, which is the name in my head. I don't even remember.
Yeah, a lot of managers. Like, do people know that Rocco Baldelli is your manager? He seems more like a bench.
When
coach.
he gets that big fancy manager of the year award, they will.
I'm saying, but like people don't really know the Mets manager.
Well, Mickey because Rocco Baldelli, people think is still like on the DL in Tampa waiting to
right,
come.
Exactly.
He's only like 37 years old. He's much younger than Nelson Cruz.
The Mets manager. Do you even know his name?
Hopefully,
by the time people listen to this, it is Mickey Callaway. Hopefully, he'll be fired by the time people listen.
I thought that was your.
Do you know what
he
makes?
Just got fired today.
He makes under $1 million a year. Like, a lot of managers are just, like, you know, they're pencil pushers. I think he makes 850K. There are quarterback coaches in the NFL that make that much. In college, there are quarterback coaches that make that much now. All right, so let's talk about football. By the way, speaking of Guess the Lines, I was on the Bill Simmons Reddit to see what podcasts I missed over the holiday.
Oh, everybody says he cheated.
Everybody's saying he cheated. Why is it? Yeah. I wasn't really paying attention.
I wasn't paying close enough attention either. I don't know.
There was one thing that he guessed correctly on a game, but not knowing where the game was. I guess it was the Bears-Raiders London game. They guessed it right, thinking it was maybe a Bears home game or a Raiders, whatever it was.
But then he also guessed 4.5 for KC Indy, thinking it was in Indy, not KC. So I don't know. Did he cheat? Did he not cheat?
I don't think he cheated. He also said he filled out the lines on Saturday, which is bizarre.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess that's what they do. They just don't usually allude to it.
Wait, before we get to that, let's give the listeners what they want. Let's hear Chester's awards for the season in the American League.
Okay. Yeah. Let's give the listeners what they want.
So, you know, this was another – Bill Simmons was arguing with Mallory Rubin about this, you know, where Bill Simmons is against Mike Trout getting the MVP because his team won 72 games.
Yeah. I think the Trout argument for reasonable people.
Ideologically and out of principle, I agree with Mallory because, you know, because she's on the right side of history on these things and Simmons is wrong about everything. But I hate to say it. I actually agree, like, technically speaking, although I don't want to acknowledge it, I do agree with Simmons here. The award, if the award is just best player.
Yeah, best player, he has to win it. And he did miss the last 20 games.
And to be fair, Alex Bregman, because Trout missed those last few games, Alex Bregman has the exact same Alex Bregman's baseball reference war was 8.4, and Mike Trout was at 8.3. And then at Fangraphs, Bregman was at 8.5, and Trout was at 8.6. So they were exactly equal in terms of actual value, right? And then when you add and then part of that obviously is because Bregman plays third and short and is a great defensive player. You know, Trout plays center, which is also a valuable position, but not as valuable as his shortstop. But, you know, also missing those 20 games was a difference. So I don't think it would be unreasonable at all for Bregman to win the MVP. And I assume Bregman will win the MVP. And spoiler alert, Bregman is my MVP award winner. But the way I do it to avoid this issue of is it the best player, is the most valuable player, is I do three awards, which is the way baseball does it also, except nobody cares about the Hank Aaron Award. The Hank Aaron Award is supposed to be the equivalent of the Cy Young Award. It goes to the best hitter. So I do that completely independent of team performance. I do Cy Young completely independent of team performance. It's the best pitcher. And then I do MVP, which is, you know, takes team performance into account. So my Cy Young ballot is number one, Justin Verlander. Number two, Garrett Cole. Number three, Charlie Morton. Number four, Shane Bieber. And number five, Lance Lynn.
Okay.
Any thoughts there? Do you pay attention to the AL at all?
I mean, only for the guys I have in fantasy. I had Garv Sauce. Sorry, Rob. I do.
By the way, Lance Lynn was on the Twins and was terrible, so it's sort of funny that he was succeeding in Texas this year.
You'd think he's the type of guy. I mean, he succeeded in St. Louis. You think he's an NL-type pitcher. And you have DeGrom as the NL Cy Young easily, right?
Well, the NL Awards will have to come next week.
Nobody's going to care anymore next week. All right. Yeah. Can we talk football?
No one's going to care next week. The league doesn't even announce them until November.
It's a crazy mistake. Yeah. It's insane.
All right. The Hank Aaron Awards, by the way, number one, Mike Trout. Number two, Alex
Can you at least say what the Hank Aaron Awards are? Nobody knows what they are.
I said it's the best hitter. It's the same as the Cy Young, but, you know, for hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think officially the award is just for hitting, but I say hitting and fielding, the best position player. So I have Trout 1, Bregman 2, Marcus Semien 3, and then 2 Red Sox, Xander Bogaerts 4, and Mookie Betts 5. Now for my MVP award, here again, I take team performance into account. So with 107 wins, Alex Bregman and the Houston Astros, he's number 1. Number 2 is also a Houston Astro, it's Justin Verlander. And number 3 is also a Houston Astro, Garrett Cole.
Mm-hmm.
So the Astros sweep 1, 2, and 3. 4 is Semien. 5 is George Springer, so that's 4 Astros in the top 5. 6 is DJ LeMahieu, DJ LeMahieu is one of these annoying guys who, he had like these strictly Coors Field numbers in Colorado. He was never very good. You know, he did not have like a good, like, you know, OPS plus or WAR. But because he was in Colorado, he put up good offensive numbers up the middle. He made the All-Star game every year, undeservedly. And he came to New York, and I'm like, okay, good. Now he's not in Colorado. He won't have good numbers anymore. And instead, he had a career year. So congrats to DJ LeMahieu. He's 6 on my ballot. 7, I have Charlie Morton. 8, I have Mike Trout. 9, I have Aaron Judge, who missed a bunch of time, but, you know, was still incredible, both offensively and defensively. By the way, it annoys me that he's good at defense, Aaron Judge. And then number 10, I have Matt Chapman. So my beloved Twins with 101 wins, it was a team effort. They have, you know, Nelson Cruz, Max Kepler, Jorge Polanco, Garv Sauce, Jose Berrios, Jake Odorizzi. They're all, you know, in the teens and the 20s on my ballot, but nobody makes the top 10. So those are my awards in the American League.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the football took place.
And by the way, just if you want Cole over Verlander, I don't feel strongly. They're so interchangeable. They were like, their numbers are very, very similar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, football time.
All right. So in a football, we could do quick picks.
Speaking of interchangeable, by the way, my like power rankings are a complete like cluster F at the moment.
Yeah, they should be. Well, first of all, tell me how you really devoured. That's a bad word. How you, if at all, sort of watched or followed or caught up on football this Sunday, because it happened during Jewish holiday where neither of us watched. I'll tell you first that what I did
was... Well, you missed everything.
But I was not spoiled. And I...
But you went 2.5 days knowing nothing, which is crazy.
Yes, and then I watched the Red Zone. Normally I'd watch the Jet game and try not to look at the updates and the bottom line scores. But because the Jets didn't play, I watched the whole Red Zone channel. I mean, I really fast forward to the second half of both, you know, because I was impatient. I didn't have all night. My wife was going insane 3 hours in.
One of the advantages of being not having a job at the moment is you don't have to worry about making up for 2 days of work.
True.
Which is really annoying.
True. Back in the day, right, I would have gone straight to work after the holiday, and I would have been doing both things at once if I was lucky. But So I did that. And then I was a little burned out, so I watched, you know, the highlights of the Cowboys Saints and the highlights of the Bengals Steelers. But then I watched the extended highlights of all the games, went through the box scores. But I did watch, I did catch a lot of the 1 and 4 o'clock games just by watching the Red Zone.
Yeah. So ordinarily, if the Vikings are playing at 4 o'clock instead of 1, that's great because that means I can watch the 1 o'clock Red Zone totally unencumbered. Other than my kids and my family, obviously. Unfortunately, because the holiday was starting at like 6:30, The Bears Vikings game, I was going to miss a chunk of it. Now, as it turns out, the chunk I missed wasn't relevant.
No.
We can talk about that in a little bit. But so at 1 o'clock, I watched all the games. I watched the Red Zone. And then 4 o'clock, there was only like 3 games going on. There was the Rams Bucks game, which was kind of crazy. And then, you know, the other game, Seattle game was easy blowout. Nothing really mattered. But I was mostly focused on the Vikings. When 6:27 or whenever candlelighting arrived, I had to turn it off. But the Vikings were losing 13-0. It was late in the third quarter. the offense had like 50 yards total, and I had absolutely zero confidence. And I realized, and this is true for the Vikings last year also, like the Vikings would have a much better chance of beating the Kansas City Chiefs or the LA Rams than they would have beating the Chicago Bears, because the Vikings have an offense that can score on anybody unless it's an elite defense, in which case they can score on nobody. So, you know, the Vikings won 11 of the first 12 quarters of the season. You know, they blew out Atlanta. They blew out Oakland. They blew out the Packers, you know, for three quarters at least. They still lost the game because of all the turnovers and the missed kicks and stuff. But though none of those teams, including the Packers, whose defense is okay, but as we saw against Philly, is not great. None of those teams have a really elite defense. When you have an elite defense like the Bears, the Vikings were so worthless. So I think if the Vikings played the Bears again, they have no chance. Whereas, if they played Kansas City, all right, they're going to give up 30 points, but they can score 30 points.
No, I agree. I think it's – I mean, listen, we're not breaking new ground. Football is often matchups-based. And,
But just – so I'm looking at my power rankings. Coming into last week, my teams that I had 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 all lost. Ravens, Cowboys, Packers, Vikings, Texans, Colts, all of them lost. Yeah. So what do you do? What do you do with your power
it's
rankings?
It's really tricky.
You
know? So the first 3 weeks of the year, there were almost no upsets, right? No survivor pool had any serious dent. And then this week –
we both went 8-7 in picking straight winners and losers this week. Which
I went
1-6
in my best bets against the spread after starting on just an absolute dominant streak through 3 weeks. 1-6.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. I'm still over 500. That's how good I was the first 3 weeks. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what to do. How about this? In terms of tiers, in my opinion, there is one very clear tier 1A, and that's three teams, the Patriots, Chiefs, and Saints. The Saints are beating playoff teams with a very mediocre backup without their superstar quarterback.
Sure. So you're saying projecting Drew Brees to come back. Yeah. I mean, the Saints are clearly number three.
He'll be back. Like, we said they needed to tread water. They're not just treading water. They're heading towards a bye without Brees.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So, okay. So that, but then after that, there's like 20 teams that you can make.
Yeah, there's no tier two though. That's tier 1A, and then there's like,
I mean, the Rams were until they got blown out at home.
The Rams are still the fourth best team any way you slice it. They had a bad loss.
No defense.
They were able to move the ball all game with the loss. Yes, Goff threw some interceptions.
The Packers had a very bad loss at home to a Philly team that looked like garbage for 3 weeks, and yet I moved the Packers up in my power.
I agree. The Packers,
which
need,
is crazy.
The Packers could
but
be as high as 5 or 6 for sure.
Their loss was less bad than like the Ravens.
Philly's played poorly, but they're not an incompetent team. The Ravens had a bad loss. The same thing. I think the Ravens.
Well, but Philly has no secondary, and so think that Philly.
Yeah, they have fatal flaws. Like they're not winning the Super Bowl this year.
Well, but everybody does.
But they're a totally competent team. They still have an elite offensive line with the injuries.
Yeah.
So the AFC, I forgot to mention this on the podcast last week, but the AFC against the NFC was, I think the number going into this week was 12-3, the NFC versus the AFC.
Wow.
And then this week, I believe the AFC won 2 out of 3, but one of them was the AFC's, you know, one of their two elite teams against the mediocre NFC team, and they should have lost. I mean, that Chiefs-Lions game, you saw the 100-yard fumble return.
But wait, Carolina went into Houston and won, right?
Yes. And then what else? Tennessee beat Atlanta. I believe
Kansas City went in Detroit and won, but, you know, Kansas City's the best team.
Yeah, I just said this. And then Tennessee beat Atlanta. I believe those are the only three
Atlanta is probably the team we were the most wrong on, right?
But you're stupid because
the Vikings blew them out in week one, and we thought, oh, that's nuts. Atlanta's a playoff team.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta barely beat a Philly team with
nobody
healthy.
And now their coach could be the first one fired, although Washington is in grave danger. I mean, Jay Gruden just said we have no quarterback. I mean, they're one of the only teams with, like, three guys you've heard of, three quarterbacks, and none of them are playable. Haskins obviously shouldn't have been thrown in. He's not even getting first-team reps. That was absurd.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had talked about activating all three quarterbacks.
Keenum had been good in the first two games.
No, Keenum is clearly their best quarterback, but, you know, if Keenum doesn't play for whatever reason, and Keenum might be done, but like play McCoy, who also kind of sucks. But Haskins needs a red shirt. Yeah. He's got that fat face. He was doing that interview and he was very confident. Yeah. But I didn't realize he's got like the baby face still.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I don't know if he could lead men yet. I think he needs to get a beard, grow a beard. now where would you put the Niners in there? Because they're sort of this enigma. Obviously, they're leading a loaded NFC West division.
Yeah.
They're 3-0.
So it's sort of funny. I had them 14 in my power rankings last week. They took the week off, and now they're 19.
That's crazy.
Well, because – so all the teams right behind them won. Seattle won. Carolina won, and I think we were too low on Carolina. Jacksonville won. Tennessee won. Cleveland won. Pittsburgh won. And so San Francisco's 3-0, but they've beaten three very bad teams.
If they beat Cleveland, I think you have to move them into the single digits, though. I think that would be such a big win.
Yeah, but honestly, any team between 6 and 22, I have Jacksonville 22 on my list.
Yeah, they and
could
I
be have
in the playoffs. Jacksonville
Cowboys
could make the playoffs.
6. And anyone between 6 and 22 is interchangeable. Yeah. I think I hate to say it because I think Simmons said the same thing on his podcast. But, you know, there's nobody in that group yet who's distinguished from themselves for 4 weeks. There's teams that look great for a couple weeks and they look terrible. So.
Yeah. All right. 6 playoff teams quickly, AFC and NFC, before we do quick picks.
Right now?
Yeah. AFC. So I have Patriots, Ravens, Texans, although all four of those teams are 2-2, and the Chiefs. Do you have a different winner of any of the divisions?
No, but those are all the division winners that we had even, or that I had even
before.
Yeah,
and then I would say Bills and Chargers, but the Ravens are Bills and Chargers, but the Browns are right there too.
I mean, the Chargers have looked really unimpressive.
I know, but an unimpressive 9-7 Chargers will still probably make the playoffs in the AFC.
Well, I mean, look, they're going to get a tiebreaker over the Colts because of Vinatieri's misses in week one. That's pretty big because, you know, all four of the teams in the AFC.
But the Colts had one of the worst losses of the year. That loss to the Raiders is really bad.
Yeah. But I think losing T.Y. Hilton really hurts them. The Bills, I understand they say they stayed close with New England, and their defense
is
going to
be in the playoffs.
Their offense.
I mean, Allen was abysmal. Yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs. Because
they're a poor man's Bears.
But
they still have
so many bad teams to play. Like, that schedule does not get hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cleveland is going to
They have Tennessee and Miami the next 2 weeks. They could easily be 5-1. I mean, that's not
a
gimme.
Tennessee's much better. I mean,
Tennessee's fine, but that's a winnable game.
Tennessee has what? I think Tennessee has the third best point differential in the AFC.
Yeah, no, Tennessee's fine, but that's a winnable game. They have Washington at home. They go to Miami. They have Denver at home. They have Pittsburgh and the Jets. Like,
the AFC East is not playing anybody all year.
They play the NFC East, which has the Giants and the Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke.
The Giants,
and the AFC North, which is much worse than it could have been because Pittsburgh is awful now, and Cincinnati is even worse than we could have imagined.
Yeah, I was wrong about Cincy, I guess.
I mean, Cincy's played three road games. Cincy
was with a play of winning in Seattle and a play of winning in Buffalo.
Yeah, if Cincy ended 6-10, I wouldn't be shocked. But they just
really laid an egg in week four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's fine. So, and then
the NFC is much more difficult.
Much more difficult. Yeah, I think you pretty much know, like, you already know the playoff teams, barring like catastrophic injuries.
Yeah, I mean, you could say all four teams in the NFC North could be in the playoffs.
I think the Saints, Cowboys are to me are obvious playoff teams, and I have the Packers for sure.
Yeah, I still think the Eagles are going to win that division.
I mean, the Cowboys are good.
The Cowboys played three of the worst five teams in the NFL so far, and in their three wins, sort of like San Francisco. Then they went and they played a close game against New Orleans, but again, a Teddy Bridgewater New Orleans.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't trust the Cowboys.
I'll say Packers,
I don't
Bears,
trust the Eagles either.
Packers, Bears, Cowboys, Saints, Rams, and then that sixth spot is just wild. I mean, the Panthers, it's possible, but I'm going to say no. I'm not in love with the Seahawks. I'm not in love with your team. You're talking Philly, but I almost want to say Detroit. Detroit could have beaten the Chiefs. I mean, they should have beaten the Chiefs. They'd be 3-0-1. They'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah. But as we said, anybody can score in Kansas City.
But nobody beats them.
So
no bad teams have beat them, or you even play them close. If you play Kansas City,
look,
close,
it was obviously it was the most impressive performance yet by Detroit. I think, you know, losing a close game to Kansas City is more impressive than beating Philly.
But it was also probably, if you think about it, you know, losing a close game where you fumbled going into the end zone and the other team scored a 100-yard touchdown where they didn't even realize counted until after the play was over. I mean, that's the single flukiest win through 64 games. 63 games.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's the, you know, the transitive property of, you know, A beat B and B beat C, therefore A can beat C. I mean, that hasn't been working at all because the A's have been beating the B's have been beating the C's, and the C's have been beating the A's. Mm-hmm. So everybody's beating everybody. So I think we need another 3
Can
weeks
I read,
to, like, let it settle.
I was going to read this anyway, but it's funny. I you know, from time to time during the day, Rob and I will get Renap email. So can I read the email we just got in for, it's usually podcast ideas. Let me just read it, okay? I had a dream where the leprechaun and the king cake baby were trying to kill each other. They were fighting because they wanted to be the icon for Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. It ended with the King Cake Baby tossing the leprechaun into a vat of acid, blowing him up in a big explosion. Then Alexander Chester gave him access to all of his spreadsheets just so he could come back on the podcast. I was going to read that anyway, but you somehow make an appearance in that guy's dream.
Yeah.
This is what comes in during the... and then people... Then, like, I'll get follow-up sometimes, like, why didn't you read my email on the podcast? Like, well, I can't read them all. We got a lot.
Well, you're reading them on this podcast.
Yes. All right. Yes. Fine. Let's do quick picks in the league where they play for pay.
All right.
Soon, so the NCAA will also be the league where they play for pay. The Golden Gophers, undefeated. Are you excited? Is Jerry Chester excited about the Golden Gophers yet?
I mean, they've really been pulling them out of their tuchus, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, the very close games. But, I mean, look, they're avoiding most of the good teams in the Big Ten this year. So, I guess anything's possible.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I'm not excited yet. And Jerry's a much bigger Gophers fan than I am.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, let's jump into week five. Week four, as I said, we both went 8-7. You picked Jacksonville correctly.
By the way, if Robbie's listening, he didn't give us a take. I want to know if he thinks Harbaugh should be fired.
Well, I spent Rosh Hashanah with my father-in-law, and, you know, he's obviously very upset by how things are going for Michigan. Mm-hmm. But it's like, who are you going to get that's better, right?
Yeah. It's a good point.
And I don't know. I don't know if is Jim Harbaugh the problem in Michigan, or is Michigan—
You can't
get
the problem is the main guy who's available is Urban Meyer, who you're not going to get. And then—
There's no chance of the— Yeah, obviously not.
Well, he's a free agent. Like, he wants a job. But if everyone thinks USC is going to go pay for him. I think if Harbaugh gets fired, everyone will want Harbaugh. And then there's, you know, the Oklahoma coach, if you want to get him, but that's going to cost, you know.
I mean, what about David Shaw? People were talking about him a few years ago.
Shaw sucks. I used to talk about him for the Jets coach. Now he's
he followed Jim Harbaugh last time. Should he follow Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, no, again? I think Shaw is, yeah. Is not a championship level coach. He's a good, like, you know, normal Pac-10 team coach. The Pac-10 is
I think Michigan maybe has to stop assuming that they're, you know, that they're a school that is going to be competing
for
national
championships. Yeah, you're Nebraska. You used to be good, and now you're just, you know, you're trying to play in the Cotton Bowl, if you're lucky, the Capital One Bowl.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump to week five. So we start with the Rams-Seattle game, mm-hmm. which Seattle's favored, which I guess just shows how people were so angry at the Rams for blowing the game against Tampa.
I see. The problem with guessing the lines is you're guessing people's stupid opinions. Maybe that's why I'm so bad at it, because I know the truth. And I'm guessing what dumb people are reacting to Sunday's games. If the Rams lose three in a row, then maybe we could talk. But who cares that they lost the game where Mike Evans, who nobody can stop, is just getting open on every play.
Yeah. So you think they go into Seattle and win?
No, I'm saying the line was, you know, I'm agreeing with you about the line. It's a short week for both teams. Does it favor the home team a little bit? Yeah, I think the Rams are going to win this game. I think the Rams are going to go into Seattle and win.
This is a tough one. I think I'm going to pick Seattle, right? Because mm-hmm. it's the short week, and they got to rest there winning, 30-10 against Arizona. So I'm going to pick Seattle, but, you know, I'm excited. This is the second good Thursday game we have in a row. Right?
Yes.
I mean, that Philly Packers game was
phenomenal.
Well,
because the Thursday games aren't NFL Network games. They're Fox games. So they
yeah,
push
jokes
off.
Jokes about how, like, oh, like, put Tennessee Jacks on Thursday night. But wouldn't we rather have a good game on Thursday night when there's nothing else to watch?
Yeah, of course. And Monday night, you're more burnt out than Thursday night.
It's not must-see TV. You don't have friends in Seinfeld in ER. Like, what else
Yeah,
do
you
watch
have Bob Hartzab's show. Obviously, you got to watch that. And then you don't even know what that is. Oh, Godfriend and me. You don't know all the CBS shows because you don't watch Survivor. You don't see all the ads. CBS has some wild shows. You check out the CBS lineup. It's insane. You won't believe half. You think half the shows are fake.
Yeah. Okay.
All
right. Jacksonville,
it's like six shows that all are like FBI, CIA, NCIS Omaha. It's just like shows you wouldn't believe. Jacksonville versus whom?
Carolina.
Yeah, it's the 1995 teams.
Yep. Battle of the Cats.
Remember being at a bar mitzvah that day, probably the last bar mitzvah of the year, January 1997, when both teams were playing, and because we're so old, I could have brought like a radio, like a Walkman to this bar mitzvah to see the scores of the, what was it, Patriots, Jaguars and Packers, Panthers. It was for people who don't know what I'm talking about. The Jaguars and the Panthers in their second year as franchises both made the conference championship.
Both
game.
Went to the
kind game. Of out of nowhere. Yeah. Both lost, and that was the—
Well, Jacksonville was really out of nowhere. They were 9-7, and Mark Brunell just went nuts.
Yeah,
in the
I mean, they had some. In hindsight, they had a very good coach in Coughlin, and Jimmy Smith was a very good player. Keenan McCardle was good. Fred Taylor, was he a rookie that year? Maybe.
I mean, Brunell was a great player.
Yeah, Brunell was really good.
Brunell's like a top,
especially when there was no good quarterbacks back then. And Kerry Collins was good. But so they were both, neither I believe came close. I think one of the games was 30-13. I don't remember both scores off the top of my head. But anyway, the way to figure out the scores, we'd call like some hotline during the bar mitzvah. We went to a payphone. Like, that's how old we are.
Oh, was it Tell Me? 800-555-TELL?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Tell Me.
Yeah.
Sports.
Or sometimes we'd call up.
All right, sports. NFL.
We'd call information and we'd ask and they wouldn't know. But if you call like five times, eventually you could harangue some lady into getting you the
Man,
score.
I remember 800-555-TELL on like class trips in like 12th
it's
grade.
It's insane. I mean, I remember we went to like protest at some Nazi's house in Pennsylvania, and it was during a Jet game and it was mandatory. So we brought like a black and white television. That's how old I am. much like the Jets Jaguars game. So the Jaguars and Panthers, hated rivalry. This game is in Carolina.
This game is in Carolina.
Kyle Allen versus Minshew, a game that we'll tell our grandkids about.
Yeah.
I'm shocked Carolina.
This line's only 3.5. I thought Carolina was much better. Yeah. So did you. Obviously, you had it.
Listen,
at 7.
NFC versus AFC. Let's go with the NFC. Everyone.
Carolina's good. We made a mistake. Carolina's good.
Yeah. Right? Carolina's fine.
All right. New England at Washington. New England. There's nothing we need to say about this.
No.
Game. Washington's a complete free for all.
This could every week Buffalo. We're like, wow, this is the biggest possible blot. The best team against the worst team. And now it's like, oh, this is the worst team.
Yeah. It's really incredible, the Patriots schedule. All right. Buffalo at Tennessee. This is a really good game. I think both of these teams have very good defense.
Yeah, this
both
is. Well, it's going to be a really ugly challenged. Game, probably.
Now, is Josh Allen definitely playing?
I don't think he's definitely playing. I think in a game like this, especially against Mariota, doesn't turn the ball over. I think almost like you want Barkley, who is probably a little more secure with the ball, even though he's much more conservative. I mean, Allen is a turnover.
Sort of like Daniel.
Allen is a turnover machine. Yeah. Like a legitimate turnover machine. He's exciting to watch. He's maybe like long-term not as bad. Like he's not going to be a franchise quarterback, but he is like a human highlight film sometimes. But man, this is not a 13-10 game is not the game for him.
Yeah, well, I do not have Buffalo in the playoffs, and part of the reason is because they're going to lose this game.
This is a loser. Doesn't leave town, but has to like go a mile out of town match.
Yeah, well, they're both going to be 3-2, and then Tennessee is the tiebreaker if it comes down to that later in the season.
Let's not worry about the Titans-Bills tiebreaker yet. Man, this could, you know, the ESPN executives are just praying that this team does not become the early Saturday.
Why? When
game.
These teams played in the playoffs last, it was, you know, one of the greatest playoff games of our lives.
That is true.
Although, actually, to be fair, it was an incredibly boring game for 59
Well,
minutes
no, I believe it was on Shabbat. I believe we did not watch
it. It was
game.
On Shabbat, yes, because I was in the dorm. I was in the dorm for Shabbat. And my good friend Mike Zim, who was not observant of the Shabbat, ran down the hall to tell me what had happened because he'd been following it on his computer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. Buffalo at Tennessee. So I'm picking Tennessee. What about you?
Yeah, Tennessee.
All right. Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
No, Baltimore by a billion.
Really? Yeah. Because they lost at home to Cleveland pretty badly.
Yeah, Lamar. Cleveland is fine. Lamar Jackson is way better than Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh just, I mean, you know, I like what they did with Jalen Samuels, right? They're putting him in the Wildcat and stuff like that. I don't know. Is Baltimore going to sweep Pittsburgh? I mean, Baltimore's the better team, but does home field matter at all in this divisional rivalry?
Yes, it matters. The Ravens are winning this game, though. Come on, stop it. This is the best bet for me this week.
Oh, because I was the 4.5 points for Pittsburgh was the best bet for me.
No, I'm going the other way. Should
it's a field goal game either way, I think.
What can we bet? I'm going Ravens. I'm taking the Ravens -4.5.
Fine. You know what? I'll just take Pittsburgh. Let's have some more disagreements.
Okay.
All right. Arizona at Cincinnati. I mean, this is a real woofer.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. Put them on the board.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Arizona's going in the wrong direction.
It's
right?
weird because they are going in the wrong direction, but like Murray's getting better every week for sure. Larry Fitzgerald somehow is getting better every week. I do. Yeah, Murray's getting better every week. Yes. I mean, remember, they have no blocking for him.
Yeah. All right. Fine. Atlanta is
David Johnson. You know, I don't know David Johnson, or I haven't really gone up against him, I don't think, in any fantasy. Is he doing anything this year? I really haven't paid
They're not
much
really running the ball. First of all, they're losing by a lot early. Yes. But you'd think that Murray would be dumping the ball
like
off to him. But instead, he's
yards.
Giving it to Fitz nonstop. Yeah,
yeah. So. Keyshawn Johnson. I actually started him in the 16-team league because I lost Antonio Brown.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So Atlanta and Houston. This is put up or shut up. If Atlanta loses this game, this loser can leave town.
Yeah, I agree. Atlanta 1-4. It's going to get ugly.
Yeah, and they're going to lose this game.
Yeah,
but,
to my Super Bowl champion.
They're
going to
be in a lot of trouble. Yep. All right. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. All of a sudden, a good game.
Yeah, this is exciting, but New Orleans is going to win.
This line's only
imagine if
Another
they beat the Rams and the Saints in back-to-back weeks. By the way, we've made jokes about this.
After having lost to the Giants the previous
Everyone on the internet has talked about this forever and made the same point. But the Mariota-Winston debate changes every single week in wild directions.
Nonstop.
Now it's Mariota's the only guy in the league without a turnover. Winston is the new
but
Brett
James
Favre again.
But just went into Los Angeles and blew up the
it's
Rams.
Crazy. Yeah. Now they're both good again. Like, I'm going to say this now. Week one, no matter how bad they are this week, they're both going to start for their team next year because there's nobody better. Because neither of these teams are having a top 5 or 6 pick. So both these guys, Winston will be the Bucs quarterback in 2020. Mariota will be the Titans. If they want, they could make a challenge trade, which would rule. But I think stop it. They're going to be their team's quarterbacks. The team's looking for quarterbacks. The big question we should ask, we already talked about the Washington game. Haskins went 16. This team is going to have a top 2 or 3 pick. You'd have to think Washington would be willing. Even if Haskins looks fine, you get a different quality quarterback in the two.
Well, Arizona did the same thing, right?
Yeah, but with Rosen, yes, and Murray. Yeah, so I think they can punt even without the first pick. I'm also excited as a fan of a team that's probably going to have a very high pick and is not really looking for a quarterback as long as it keeps its spleen. This is supposedly like the greatest receiver draft ever, which is amazing for a team that's going to be in desperate need of a receiver or two.
But does that mean you want a receiver in the top five, or that means there's a lot of depth?
That depth, you could trade. If there's an immortal guy, if people think Jerry Jeudy is a top five pick, you could take him. If not, trade down and get the third best guy in the elite class and get some extra picks because, you know the Jets need players at every position. Okay, what's the next game?
All right, the Vikings go to New York.
Yeah.
I'm still undecided whether I should watch this game or not.
Yeah, this is going to be – oh, go? I think you should go. It's going to be ugly. It'll be a nice elixir for Kirk Cousins because this team is not going to be able to blitz him as much as has been hit the last few weeks.
Well, as I said, the Vikings in the Zimmer era, they destroy the bad teams, right? They have two blowouts,
This is a bad team without by far their best player. I mean, if you can't beat them, you should pack up the season and go home.
Yeah. So the Giants' undefeated record with Daniel Jones comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chicago against Oakland. This game was in
London. I don't really look at, like, who should I use for Survivor in week 6 and 7. So I just use all the good teams early and then hope that everyone. So I'm sort of light on options in one of my Survivor pools. What do you think about using Chicago against Oakland on a neutral field in London?
Well, I was going to use Oakland for our defense Survivor thing.
Okay.
Right? To hold Chicago to less 27, but then I realized I already used Oakland against Denver in week one. So.
Yeah, I don't know. So what do you think about that? I can also do, I have the Eagles-Jets option, but then the only other one is...
I mean, I think Chicago's a pretty safe pick. I thought this line was going to be bigger than it was, but then again, Oakland just went into Indy and beat an Indy team, which we think is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take somebody.
You know, Chicago's defense is really, 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 really good. But they can't really score.
Mm-hmm.
So things could be funky. I mean, I think they're going to win this game, and I think they're pretty safe.
Yeah, I'm picking them to win, but I'm a little nervous about potentially using them in Survivor, which I think I'm not going to.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm eliminated. So
I think the Chargers against the Broncos is maybe who I'd use.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm looking over
Bill and Sal point out a home game for the Chargers doesn't help. You know, the Broncos are pretty close, so they'll travel well, although not as well as if they were 2-2, I'd assume.
Yeah. I mean, Chicago's going to have easier games also on their schedule. So, yep. All right. Philly hosts the Jets. Is Darnold playing? It doesn't matter, but is he playing?
Okay. So they really won't know because it's a question of his spleen. He practiced today.
Spleen.
But if his spleen is still enlarged, there's a fear that it could explode if he gets
hit. You hit the spleen, you die.
So,
not ideal.
They won't really know until later in the week. I think you have to play this safe, right? Like, we're talking about death if he gets hit bad offensive line. So I think it's insane to pretend like he's going to play. I think there's a good chance he plays next week.
They just had their bye.
It stinks because, sadly, even though this is in Philly, this is their most... one of their easier games in the next few weeks because they have New England again and they have Dallas coming up.
Didn't you think the Jets were going 9-7 or 8-8, something like that?
Well, they could have treaded water at 2-5 in their first seven, and then they get the Dolphins twice and the Giants and the Redskins and the Steelers without Roethlisberger. Their schedule gets incredibly easy, but the problem is that they're the easy team for everyone else's schedule because they suck.
Yeah.
So. I like the Eagles, and without Darnold, I love the Eagles -13.5. Although I imagine if Darnold's, announced as out, that'll go over two touchdowns.
Anybody can score on the Eagles, including Luke.
No, Luke Falk cannot score on anybody. He has not done it yet. He has not led them on a scoring drive yet in 6.5 quarters, so I don't think he can.
Yeah. Hey, they got two touchdowns against the Patriots.
Yeah, a defense. The defense and special teams.
Well, he was the quarterback, and he led the team to two touchdowns.
He led them 14 points. Good call.
He psyched out the Tom Brady's backup quarterback. All right, Chargers, we already said, is going to kill Denver. Green Bay at Dallas. This is a great game.
Yeah, great game. I have to say I like Green Bay. I think this is similar to last week, except the Packers' pass rush is a little better. Maybe their secondary is not as good as New Orleans, but their pass rush, the Packers' defense rules. It's great. And then, it's Aaron Rodgers instead of Teddy Bridgewater. So I like the Packers in this game.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take those points. I don't know why Dallas.
This is the Sunday at 4 game. This is probably why there's only two games at 4 because Packers Cowboys is one of the biggest games you could possibly have from a TV standpoint. I mean, it's
yeah, but they did this last week also with Vikings Bears. Like, there was only two other games.
Well,
like,
no, this is only two.
Even so, I want to see
the
five
whole.
Other
I know,
games,
I know, but they want the whole country watch. Fox or CBS wants the whole country watching just this game, yeah. Not on the red zone or anything.
So you're gonna pick the Packers to go into Dallas and
yes.
win. I think it's going to be a very close game. As I said, I'm taking those points. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go for the home team, okay. Which is what I always do. So, yeah. All right. Indy at KC. KC's going to win. Yeah. Indy.
KC's going to run.
T.Y. Hilton. Yeah. Well, I thought
T.Y. might play, right? I haven't really looked into it yet.
I hope so because, you know, I really like Indy. I really like Brissett's looked really good. I thought that they were, you know, probably the favorite to win that division because Houston, I just feel like, is at some point there's going to be an injury to Watson or something else. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, their offense did not look very good. And just losing at home to Oakland, that does not look good. Mm-hmm. And then the Monday night game, Cleveland at San Francisco.
I think it's an interesting game.
Similar teams. Yeah, interesting game. You know, these teams,
but I said I'm pounding the Browns. My two best bets of the week are the Ravens against the Steelers and the Browns against the Niners.
So 2 weeks for San Francisco to game plan for the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
Doesn't scare
Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, I think there's a slight coaching advantage for the
49ers. Yes, I would agree
game.
With that, but I still think that the talent advantage is heavily skewed towards.
I mean,
Cleveland
went into Baltimore, and that was a very big win, yeah. An impressive win, and you know, and it was not a particularly close game. Is San Francisco going to be one of our last three undefeated teams?
Is San Francisco? No, they're losing. They are one of our last three undefeated teams. They're just going to lose now.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even know. It's not like Andy Reid. I don't know if there's stats to show. You know what the record is off a bye for San Francisco. But mm-hmm. I'm gonna pick San Francisco. Okay. So four games we disagree. I pick all the home teams as usual. You pick all the road teams.
All right.
All right. So when we next speak, the Vikings. The twin season will probably be over, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. Next week is a full regular week, but then just a warning in 2 weeks and in 3 weeks, we probably also have a later Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah. Let's game plan. When are we recording the podcast next week? Are we recording it Monday? Because Tuesday we can. It's Yom Kippur and Wednesday we can.
Friday. Yeah. Next week we'll record Monday.
So we either got to record Monday before that Browns 49ers
game. That's
fine.
Who cares? The Browns 49ers game is nice, but that's not important enough to hold the podcast for 2 days. Yeah. I mean, if something crazy happens in the Twins games, maybe we'll do a mini-sode. Or you could even record a rant if you want and post it.
Now, how do you feel about during the Aser Yemei Teshuva, no less, leaving a TV on the third floor of my house so I can sneak up and see what's going on Friday
I think there's no reason to. I think if they win, there are more important games ahead, and if they lose, you don't want to watch it anyway.
But I'm going to miss all the more important games one and two. Well, I'll see the second half game two, so that's fine.
Will your wife get mad at you nothing. If you do that? Will she think you're like a faker?
I don't. First of all, she wouldn't even know because I can tell what happens in my house every Friday night. Unless we go out for dinner, what happens is everyone's asleep by 8 o'clock except for me.
You guys don't sit down to a formal meal?
No, we do. And then like 20 minutes later, like we put the kids down to bed first because our kids are little.
Oh, so I have much older kids. We go
to
sleep before sometimes.
Yeah, no, my kids go to sleep before, like the older ones maybe stay.
Well, I pass out on the couch Friday nights usually.
Yeah, no, I from 9 p.m. to 1 in the morning every Friday night, I'm by myself reading usually. I mean, sometimes I'll go over to like a friend's house once in a while, but usually I'm just sitting there on the couch reading by myself.
Can I tell you something frustrating? I don't know if you got any good reading done on the Jewish New Year.
A little bit, not much.
I read some
back episodes, back issues of Atlantic.
Okay.
I read Barry Weiss's book about anti-Semitism. Nothing new there.
I heard it was more of a pamphlet. Like, it wasn't a big
Yeah, it was very small.
I hate when people sell these books.
It wasn't
and
just
like,
that it was few pages, is that the pages were very small.
Oh, really?
It was a pamphlet.
I hate when people.
And there was nothing, for someone like you or me who's very in that world already, there was
nothing new to glean.
There was two new facts I learned. One, which I did not realize, was this origin of this anti-Semitic conspiracy in Egypt against the Jews of Alexandria in like the 400s or whatever, which I didn't know about. And I also didn't know, and I'm surprised I didn't know about this, that after Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, testified, Trump said Jews always flip, which I feel like I should have heard about that.
Unfortunately, it didn't make the top 10 list of insane things he said that day, but I feel like in the deep recesses of my brain, that sounds familiar. That he did say that.
How did I not know about that? Do we always flip? Are we flippers?
I don't think we're flippers never win. I don't think we're... I'm beginning to think that guy Trump is not a good guy.
Yeah.
Can I say... Oh, so I was reading this book. I don't know if anybody would find this really, but I read a bunch of books. I bought a bunch of books on Amazon.
You show up at shul at 5 in the morning. You got to read
to
stay awake.
No,
yeah.
I actually, I was like really sick. I would not have gone either day if it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. That's how terrible I felt.
Yeah.
And So I, but no, I don't bring books. I brought a book about Hasidism.
You could have been the pathetic bedbound guy who the chauffeur blower has to come to your house.
I was thinking that. I told my friend, like, hey, I was going to have my wife send the chauffeur blower to my house. He's like, oh, I don't blow the chauffeur. I was like, oh, I thought you blew the chauffeur. So it would have been awkward. Anyway.
We have a chauffeur, but I don't know how to blow it.
Yes, I read a bunch of books. I read multiple books, actually. Over the break.
Let's hear. What do you read?
Well, but I want to say, so I maybe my...
Well, I need a new book for Yom Kippur. But give me a book that I can read in synagogue.
Hold on.
It's got to be
synagogue. Hold on. So we should do like a book reading corner. So there's this guy, Thomas French. He doesn't really write anymore, but he has a Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah.
You know him? He wrote like a lot of the old school long reads. Maybe you've never seen them, but if you're a long reads person, look him up. He has like a 50-page printed out long reads about a MERS story. He's a Tampa Bay newspaper writer for many years. Anyway, I liked his story so much that I bought one of his books, even though I'm the only person who's read this book in the last 20 years. It's about five kids. It's about a high school in he has full access for a full year to a high school in Florida in 1990. And it's just talking about, like, he's got, you know, the captain of the football team, and he's, you know, he spends more time with certain characters. And I like the book. I read through it.
Are you going to tell us the name of this book or not?
Yeah, it's called South of Heaven by Thomas French. I'm not even sure I recommend it. It's a good book, but I don't think it'll take your breath away. What's weird is I bought it off Amazon, and it was from my local library. It was like one of these, like, you know, how weird is that? Yeah. Of all the libraries in the country, it was from my library right next to my house.
Merrick or whatever?
Yes, Merrick, you idiot. No, the Five Towns, Euler-Woodmere Public Library. It's a very nice library.
I don't know what's going on.
Merrick. Going on. Oh, my God. That's where my mom is. That's where my mom and Rob are from. That area. So I read the book, and it was like, oh, these people are so interesting. Let me see, as I always do with any sort of nonfiction I do.
What are they up to now? Years later.
Now, here was the problem. Yeah. Thomas French is not on Twitter, and all five people, first of all, most of them are women who have changed their name, and, like, the guy's name is John Boyd. The other guy's name is Mike Broom. One of the women's name is Andrea Taylor, and it's probably not Taylor anymore.
Oh, that's not helpful.
Jamie Sheehy. So generic, I found, and I would...
But there must have been an article where they...
No, they're not, because it's not a famous book. This is how I got into it. So if someone wants to do some research this week...
How did you find the book then? Just because
I Googled Thomas French, and I bought the book, and I was literally going to tweet him. So I found one of them, who's like very... The star of the book is very infrequently on Twitter as like a diabetes activist. So I think I'll tweet at her, but she's probably not going to respond. I don't think she's tweeted in like a year. But now I'm like dying to know, like, are these people still alive? I mean, the book is 30 years ago. Some of them were like not in great shape. One of them gets married at 16 and has a kid, drops out of school. Like, I thought it was interesting, but also it's very dated. It's, you know, a time before there's any technology. I also read, I'm not done, a book about, it's called The Short and Tragic Life of Robert Peace. So far, I would definitely recommend it.
I read that book.
Isn't it good?
I read that book.
Is it good?
It's depressing.
Yeah, but you know,
it's a very quick read. It's like a 3-hour read.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, I finished. I went halfway through the holiday, but it's a lot of. It's a basically. I mean, there's no spoilers because you know on the cover that the guy dies, but it's about a kid who goes from a super genius kid, a single mom because his dad, who was very involved, goes to jail for double homicide or manslaughter, and he is so smart he gets out of Newark and goes to Yale.
Yeah. He escapes the ghetto of Newark, goes to Yale.
And then comes back to
his roommate in college.
Yeah. Well, here's what's weird.
How did he...
Sorry to spoil...
He got out of Newark, but then he couldn't get out of Newark all the way.
So fast forward if you don't want to hear this, but you probably won't read the book, and it's not a full spoiler, but like... So the first 120 pages of the book, it's like... not because I'm like a writer, which I'm not, but... I always, when I'm reading nonfiction, like, who's he talking to? Who's he interviewing that they got this quote? How does he know? Like, I know he wasn't there during the guy's childhood. Is he getting it from the mom? Because the protagonist is dead, right? Anytime the protagonist isn't there, I'm always curious. So I'm like, wow, this is incredibly rich.
But he talks about that in the credits. He talks to the principal. And the
I know, but he, but it's but I'm still always wondering, like, how does he know this? Because I'm very skeptical. And then, like, there's a gasp moment because I didn't read the back. 120 pages in. Like, he reveals himself to be the roommate, and then he becomes the author who is not mentioned the first 120 pages of the book, not writing in the first person, becomes, like, the central character of the book. And I bet people had a problem with it.
Oh, so you didn't know that the author had been his roommate in
college. Can I tell you what's funny? There's, like, tape on the back of the book, because it's used, and it says the author was his roommate, but that sentence now was blocked.
Was taped over?
Taped over, so I didn't know. So I, like, gasped when I read that. Because I thought he was just like a random person until he becomes the guy's college roommate. But he inserts himself too much, and he's trying to be like super apologetic and like, hey, like I was the only white guy, but I was the black guys thought I was cool. It was a very like he talks about race in like a bizarre way. Anyway, yes, that. But I think I'd recommend that book. I don't know what else I read. I read a lot of different books, but we could do a book corner. Do you have any books to recommend?
No, I mostly read Atlantic articles, which there was some very good books.
Oh, how about this? True American, I also read by Anand Gudarodis. I believe he's on Twitter a lot. He's like a leftist like thinker, talker. It's about 2 weeks after 9/11, some white supremacist in Texas goes into a gas station. He is already... he hasn't been caught, but he's already killed, I think, two different clerks who he thinks are Arabs, even though they're both...
But they're actually
both,
Sikhs.
Yeah, they're Muslim. Right? They're not Arabs. Yeah. And he shoots the guy who ends up being the half-protagonist of the book, along with the white supremacist. And it just goes back and forth, chapter versus chapter, of like the recovery and then what he does next, which I won't spoil, versus the white supremacist who's on death row. So that's the
real chipper, really.
Yeah, so the True American, a lot, all nonfiction. I really almost only read nonfiction.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm the same way.
So those are the last three books I read in the last week or two.
All right. Okay. Well, shana tova to you and yours, and we will talk next week.
Bye.
Bye. המפורש יוצא מפי כהן גדול היו קוראים משתחווים ונופלים על פניהם ברוך שם כבוד מלכותו לעולם ועד למקום שפסר פניו לקודש אחוריו לאחד ללא רבב היו שווים פיו ומעשר בא ממקום שהוא בא והלך למקום שהלך פשט בגדי לבן לבש בגדי זר וכך היה אומר אנשם כפר לחטאים לאבונות ולפשעים שחטאתי לפניך אני וביתי ואם אדם היה יכול לזכור את החסדים, את הטובות את כל הרחמים, את כל הישועות בטח ככה היה מונה אחת, אחת ואחת, אחת ושתיים אחת מאלף אלפי אלפים ורוב ריבי רבבות ניסים נפלאות שעשית עמנו ימים ולילות וכהנים והעם העומדים בעזרה כשהיו שומעים את שם השם המפורש יוצא מפי כהן גדול היו קוראים משתחווים ונופלים על פניהם ברוך שם כבוד מלכותו לעולם ועד ממקום שיצא ורעד במקום שעמד פשט בגדי זהב לבש בגדי עצמו וכל העם והכהנים היו מלווים אותו לביתו ויום טוב לאוהביו כי נסלח לכל הדת ישראל אשרי העם שכך הלום אשרי העם של השם אלוקו מראה שואל דמות
שם השם המפורש יוצא מפי כהן גדול.